Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You serious?
Hello there. This is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy, and I am being joined by producer Bill. How you doing, producer Bill?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad.
Good stuff. We've got a guest coming up today, but beforehand, I just want to say I'm really upset with something to do with the next generation of console. This is a story that's not brand new, but I'm just upset that there are Amazon customers awaiting the delivery of the new PlayStation 5, and they've been left reeling when they were greeted by bags of rice instead of their next gen console. Apparently there have been people been people nicking PS5s before they were delivered on Thursday and Friday before we recorded this. So instead of getting a 450 quid console, they're getting things like foot massages, cat food, George Foreman grill.
Yeah, they've also had people delivering, quote unquote, the console, and then the courier drivers nicking them and just driving away.
Yeah, that's not cool. I mean, I've seen Felix cat food in one, rice. What else? Let's have a look at another one that someone's opened up.
Foot massager.
Foot massager. Oh, that's not cool. Oh, an air fryer. Oh, that's not cool. So MTV journalist, actually, that I've met a couple of times in the past, said, I tried to document my unboxing, but it's... I've just got an air fryer instead. Apparently, people are seeing drivers pull a little scam, pull up to a house and say that there's no delivery. Oh, dog food and another one in chunky gravy. That's unreasonable. I just want to say for all of you guys nicking, yeah, PS5s, it's not cool. That would upset me so much.
You'd be frustrated. Fucking £450 spent on some dog food. All right. But I think got a dog.
What's good about buying stuff from Amazon, though, is you know that they're good for it, though, isn't it? That's the only thing is you know.
You're like,
come on, man. They got you, bruv. You think they're going to leave you short of pocket? Come on, mate. It's Amazon. They got the money. But people need to be careful nicking these next-gen items now because serial numbers can be allocated to products. And it's like if somebody was to nick my phone, you just call Apple and they brick it, don't they?
Yeah, and you got to find my iPhone anyway.
Yeah, you got to find my iPhone. But if somebody just tries to nick it and run off with it, you just brick it, shut down the iPhone, and it becomes useless to anyone else. Anyway... On that positive note, let's switch over to somebody who is an absolute legend. We're going to be talking to Red Pepper. He's one of the UK's best loved and most prolific voiceover artists. He's known as the movie trailer man from the sheer number of Hollywood blockbusters his voice has trailed.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When the world's greatest athlete, Michael Jordan, teams up with the world's best-loved cartoon character, Bugs Bunny, you won't believe your eyes. Warner Brothers presents Jordan, Bugs Bunny.
Special delivery!
Together, they just might save the world. Space Jam. You've never seen anything like it.
Life is short.
I love you.
Love is forever.
Men in Black. Protecting the Earth from the scum of the universe.
You know how to use these things?
No idea whatsoever.
Come on. We all know that voice, don't we, Bill?
Very iconic.
Very iconic, man. He's worked for, like, as well as, like, you know, doing films like Independence Day and other great, like, film trailers. He's also worked for The Nightly Show. He's done stuff for VW Golf, Better Meerkat, Tesco and Purcell. I mean, Tim Burton even cast Red Pepper to voice ghouls for Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Which is, I think, you know, it's nice. He's just got one of those voices that I think is unlike anyone else. And as we're about to find out, he ain't putting that voice on. That's how he sounds. So here's what happened when we spoke to Red Pepper. Quick note before we jump into the interview. There was a mistake, fully mine, with regards to recording quality. And we had two choices in the edit. One, you hear me in high quality and Red Pepper over Zoom. Or two, thankfully, because Red Pepper had it recorded over at his side as well, you hear him in high fidelity and me in cruddy Zoom quality. I think you know which one we went for. Thank me later, yeah? But hey, it's the end of 2020. We're in the middle of a national lockdown, so I thought I'd ask Red Pepper, how is it treating him?
Lockdown for me has been absolute bliss. Bliss with a capital B. I love my own company. I love the company of my beautiful wife. She is stunning. I love my children. Ish. You know, I'm a happy man, you know. I'm a philosophical brother. Philosophical is the word. I don't give a damn about being in the party atmosphere. I don't have to be out there kicking ass. I know what it's all about. Life is about you. Life is about what you, how you take it. People say life is how you take it. Life is what you make it. Life is what you how you take it. That's how, it's how you take it. That's what makes you a man or a woman or a child or whatever. It's how you take it. We all get obstacles. And my dad used to always say to me, if the mountain was smooth, you'd never be able to climb it. Handle it. Use it. Don't bitch about it. Don't moan about it. It is what it is, right? It is what it is. So when things come your way, you just handle it. Handle it. So lockdown for me is, man, this is my boo. This is my little sanctuary here. And I'm in here all the time. I come in here and I do my little, you know, music bits and all the rest of it. And I go in and I have a cup of tea. And I sound so English, and a cup of tea. I don't drink tea. I'm a coffee man. And I chill out. I chill out with the family. And I'm good. I'm good. I've saved myself a sack load on taxis and train fares and whatever. So the kids got extra money because, you know, I'm saving money. I got a great setup here. And I've always said to all the VOs, actually, this is quite loud. I've always said to every VO, every up-and-coming budding VO, to always make sure that you invest in yourself what you think you're worth. You know, so if you think you're worth tuppence, fine, invest tuppence. If you think that you can record something and send it to somebody on an iPhone, fine. If you think that you're worth good money, get yourself stuff. Invest in yourself. This is a U87 I'm using here, right? I took 25, woo! Right? Listen, 25 years, I treated myself. After 25 years of voicing, I said, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. I used the Rodecasters. I used the Electro Voices. I've used so many, the Shores, the Aston Mics. I used so many in the industry. But this is my baby right here. and I have a good mixing desk, and I put out my stuff on high quality because I believe in me, and I invest in me, and I am a part of your team. You are a part of my team. We are an industry. And so to me, I'm in seventh heaven right now, because I can hook up with you wherever you are. I can get through to you clean, because we have the capacity to do it nowadays, not like back in the day. And it's all beautiful. So I really don't miss going out and getting on a train with a lot of, you know, the great unwashed. I'm happy. I'm really happy. I'm happy, baby.
That's very good to hear. You know what? And you said life is how you take it, and it sounds like you're taking it very well. Mm. For those who are just listening to the podcast that can't see anything, can you just build a mental picture of your studio that you're in right now?
Well, I call it my booth. It's not huge. And I've always said to newbies who want to get into the industry, do not think you have to have this big F-off studio like we have in central London. You need space. This room is about, it's probably about, I'd say 8 feet tall. It's about 9 foot wide, and it's about 5 foot wide the other way. And I've got it ceiling to floor, sound deadened with all the stuff on the wall. Red foam on the ceiling, on the walls, right in the corners. It's very important. I've got a computer in here, a very quiet computer, a printer, the PC, the screen. I've got the, what do you call it, a couple of DBX 286Ss for the compression and noise gates and stuff. Now, you know what noise gates are. It just cuts any kind of noise out. But it's all sound deadened, and it's a small, tight room, and that's how I work. That's how I work. It's my domain. It's beautiful in here. I love it.
So you sound so at peace in your space right now. Mm-hmm. It sounds amazing. I love to hear it.
Yeah, this, I don't want to be too philosophical about stuff, but I can't help but be philosophical about it, because the reality is everything, and I challenge anyone to say it's wrong, everything that we do is based on our attitude. A, the big A, attitude. You can either get up and get out there in the rain, or you can get up, look outside and say, I can't handle this, I'm going to go back to bed. It's down to you. Attitude. The whole world is a matrix. It's a domino effect. If you don't go out there, you're never going to bump into somebody. If you don't get in the mix, you'll never be in the mix. If you got big dreams, but you're sleeping all the time, your dream will always remain a dream. You got to get out there. You got to do your stuff. I am no different to you. You are no different to me. It's how we apply ourselves. That's all it is.
Amazing. I agree with you totally. I mean, Red Pepper, obviously we're going to discuss your voice today, because it's an absolutely unique and amazing gift that you've harnessed right now. But when you're not recording, how do you like to kill time outside of your booth? What do you do?
Oh man, I do many, many things. I'll put aside the saucy version. I'll leave that alone. But I do all kind of crazy things. I do stuff like I sit down. I've got this little thing, right? It winds everybody up. Apart from watching football, I'm a big Aston Villa fan. I go up to Aston Villa, but obviously with the COVID right now, we can't do that. But I follow the Villa. But in between that, when I'm sitting indoors and I got nothing to do, what I do, I flick channels. I look for adverts. Instead of watching the movies or the television, you know, series, I look for the television commercials, because I'm so anal about my industry. I want to hear how other people are delivering stuff. I want to hear how somebody's, you know, sold a bottle of pop or Domestos or, you know, some fairy liquid. I want to hear how they deliver. And then I start doing things like, I know who that is. I know who that is. It's like spot the VO actor. That's my thing. You understand? I love it. I'm just into my industry, and I've been doing this, what, 26 years. 26 years is not a chore. I'm never bored of it. This is my thing. This is my life. And it's the only job I do. I don't do anything outside of this, apart from I go to these classes where I inspire people, and I try to tell people, you know, how to, not necessarily deliver lines, but how to apply yourself and how to invest in yourself and how to believe in yourself. And, you know, your cup is never half empty. It's always half full. You know, I'm a big believer in putting back into the industry and into people who want to. If you want to become somebody and you're looking for inspiration and I can help you, I will. That's what I do, you know. But yeah, I got lots of crazy things about me. I do crazy stuff as well. You know, I mess around a lot. I like to fool around. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a young cat at heart, but I'm not. I'm pretty much 60 years old my next birthday. But I look fine and sexy. I'm still looking good. Everything's still working. I'm good, baby. But I like to fool around
a lot.
That's
what we want to hear.
Looking
good, feeling good.
Hell yeah. And that's another thing. I eat well. I eat fish and I eat my greens and I drink. I've always got water on hand. I drink these two, 1.5 liter. I drink three of these a day. You know, tap water as well. Always not tap water. Always room temperature water. Don't put ice in your throat. Don't do it. It's not good. Or don't drink coffee all day. It just messes up your throat. You can't deliver. And the clarity just goes and you're forever snapping. And it's not good for recording sessions. Yeah, there's nothing ridiculously special about me, trust me. But you would like, really? You did that? Or you could do that? I've done some crazy things, you know, in the industry that people wouldn't realize. Done some funny things as well. Like one of the funniest things I did was a major soft drinks company. Blue and red cans, but I won't name the brand. They had this big promo and they said they thought it'd be really cool to get Red to come up there for a fee, obviously, and get inside this rigged up drinks dispensing machine. So I was literally in a drinks dispensing machine that was giving out free drinks at Wembley Stadium when the Jaguars was playing the Dolphins, American football here. So we got a lot of fans around and they put me in this drinks machine and I could see the fans through this camera. They couldn't see me. So when they approached the machine, I'd say, "How you doing, brother?" "Hey, the machine's talking." "Yeah, I'm talking to you in the gray jumper right there. How you doing?" And then this couple came and they clearly were in love, holding hands and everything, very hippie-ish. And she goes, "Oh, I think the machine's talking to me, dear." And he says, "Yeah, I think it is. Hey, buddy, what color shirt has my wife got on?" "It's blue, stupid. She's a fine-looking woman." "Do you think so?" And he said, I'm not even sure when this is going to be broadcast, but he said something relating to her breasts.
You can crack on.
He said, "Do you like my wife's breasts?" And I says, "What did you say?" "Yeah, oh, yeah, do you like my wife's breasts?" And I says, your wife has a splendid pair of breasts. They are fine. Do you like the nipples?" And I'm thinking, "Are you serious?" So I said, "Yes, she's got beautiful nipples." And then I get in the earpiece, "Red, you do realize you're on the big screen. You're going out to the big screen in Wembley Stadium, and they can hear you through all the speakers." Shh. Oh, I was so embarrassed-ish because they couldn't actually see me. And I said, "Oh, yeah, sorry about that. I didn't realize." But I do funny things. I do simple things. I do lots of animations and Xbox characters and, you know, PlayStation consoles. And I've done so many things along the way. I've probably said, "In a world," a million times, "coming soon, this year, one man, this fall, in a sleepy town, bloody, bloody, bloody." I've done it all. But nowadays, the movie trailer industry is not as heavy as it used to be because they use a lot of captions from the movies. And then they put the captions on the screen, and you very seldom hear, you know, "In a land that time forgot." You don't really hear that much no more. You hear a lot of crash, bang, wallop. You know, but I do plenty of work. I do things like, you'll never believe, you'd probably hear me every single day doing The Chase, proudly sponsored by Gala Bingo. You know, I do all of that. I do Alpacin Caffeine Shampoo. "Men, do you have hair? Fight for your hair." I do lots of stuff that people wouldn't even think about because they think that I'm just a Mr. Movie Trailer Man. But I'm not. I've been around 25 years. And I do lots and lots and lots of stuff, you know.
Well, we have a discussion here on the show that we hear that the movie game is changing a lot, but also the computer games.
Oh, yes.
Industry is really, really growing. Am I right in saying that there's, because it seems like they're adding a lot more narrative to characters, whereas 20 years ago, you might have a character just having a line or two. Now you have full dialogue.
Exactly. But it's not a new thing, because back in, I can't remember exactly what year, in the mid-90s, I was Shadow Man, and I was Blade. And within those games, they were, when you look back at them, they're nothing in comparison to what we have now. The quality, the graphics are superior now. But you had, I remember, the Shadow Man was, I am the Lord of Deadside, Shadowborn at the confluence of the worlds to walk between. And it had, can I just play you a little something here? It is all copyrighted.
Yeah, please.
So I'll come in with something like, let me find something. I am the Lord of Deadside, Shadowborn at the confluence of the worlds to walk between. Life side is without meaning. I am Shadow Man. That kind of thing. You know, it's a skill. A lot of people think that voicing is easy. If you can read, and if you can punctuate, and if you can intonate, and if you have a soul that you know when to go soft and when to go hard, when to go light and when to go heavy, and you can use your voice, because your voice, my voice, is an instrument. It's no different to having a guitar sitting in everybody's house. There's a guitar sitting in the corner. Yeah. And you come in there and you say, I can't play. And you can ping, 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 ping. You put it back and it sits there catching dust. Some guy comes in, a friend, oh, you got a guitar. And he picks it up and he makes that same guitar catching dust sound beautiful. It's an instrument. It's not because the instrument cannot be played. It's because it's not being used. People have the instrument in their voice, but they don't know how to use it. I can turn around and do a horror movie and I'm saying, look behind you. And then I can say, look behind you. For a Pixar production or something, it's what you do with your voice. I can take my voice and I can go, hi, how you doing? Oh my God, really? I can get it up there if I want to. And I can turn around and I say, oi, mate, how you doing? Yeah, I'm from London. You're all right, mate. Geez, you're having a laugh, geez. I can do all of that because it's listen, it's how you focus. It's how you focus. If you got a job and you're proud of what you're doing and you really have a challenging kind of personality and you have competition within your soul, you think, you know what? I'm going to crack this. You either want to do it or you don't want to do it. You either can do it or you can't. You have the ability or you don't, or you're fooling yourself. Every single day on Instagram, I get hundreds and hundreds of people sending me the same old message. Red, what do you think of my voice? And I'm not an agent. I'm not your daddy. It doesn't matter what I think of your voice. And a lot of people, they try to do what I do, and they try to be me. And I keep saying to people, be you. They're saying, listen, yeah, in a world where one man, yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, Christ, what are they trying to prove? You got to be you. So it comes with the territory, I guess. But reality is that there's one pot. There's plenty of voiceovers out there. It's a very tough industry. I'm fortunate in the respect that I have been doing it for 26 years. And that's all I do to make a living. I don't drive a bus. I don't do stage acting. I don't do game shows and all that kind of stuff. I appear on them for, you know, for fun. But this is what I do. And to manage to master that for 26 years as a sole career, a sole income, I think I deserve a round of applause, because there's lots of guys have come and gone. Seriously.
You know what? I salute you for that. And I must say, it's really good to hear how you've mastered your craft and you've showed us the range of your voice, which is lovely to hear. I have to be honest with you though, Red, even when you're just talking though, I feel like there's a gravitas to your voice. And I feel like you have a very unique sound. Like before you even started working in the voiceover industry, when did you first realize that you had a voice that was different, that could really hold people? And it's just it's very unique.
Well, the first time I realized I had something special, it had nothing to do with being mindful of a career change or nothing, because I was a young kid. I was 14 years old. Excuse me. And I'm coming down the stairs one day, and I'm only imagining what I used to sound like, something like, you know, good morning, Mom. It wasn't quite like that, but, you know, it was not like how it is now. And I'm coming down the stairs, 14 years old, and I just said, good morning, Mom. good morning, Mom. And my voice was going up and down, up and down. I says, whoa. And I could literally feel my chest rattling. I could feel my chest vibrating. If I put my hand on my chest now, today, I feel my chest vibrating. And it's just one of those things. And my mother laughed at me. She says, oh, you think you're a man now? And I says, well, I sound like a man, don't I? And I was so cool. It was never as deep as it is now, obviously, at 14 years old. That's just weird. And my sisters were laughing. They were laughing. And it didn't settle down for a few days. It kept kind of coming and going. It was all over the place. And the time I realized I had a bit of power was when my sister said, I want you to get on this phone and I want you to tell Douglas, his name was Douglas Barnes, tell Douglas I don't want to see him no more. Stay away from the house. So I get on the phone and I say, yeah, is that you, Douglas? You bring your ass around here again. It's me and you. Do you understand? And never saw Douglas again. And it was, I thought, you know what? This is cool. And then people started saying, you got a deep voice. Wow. And then I realized that females were attracted to this deep voice. Men wanted this deep voice. And I thought, oh, I got something here. But I never really properly engaged it into the world of voiceovers. I just used to use it for pulling girls, as you say over here, and just being cool, you know, and it was just nice. It was like, yeah, I sound a bit like that guy. That guy turned out to be Barry White. I sound like that guy is on the radio, you know, that, oh, I want to love you, baby. Oh, baby. And I said, oh, shit, yeah. And then I started to listen to radio. And instead of just listening to it, I'm a bit anal, I got to say. I was listening to radio for the way the presenters, or DJs, we used to call them back then, broadcast. And I said, I could do that. I want to do that. Then I started pretending that I'm a radio DJ in the house. Then I started pretending that I can do that in a world, because Don LaFontaine coined that phrase many, many years before me. And I said, yeah, I could do that. That sounds like me. Well, actually, I sounded like him. But that's what I said. I said, he sounds like me in a world where one man coming soon, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, yeah, I could do that. But I never in a million years thought that I'd end up doing that. I was a fireman. I was a security guard walking around with a dog at night, you know, for 12 hours a day. I was a train driver on the tubes. And when I was on the tubes, again, it was that sexiness about me. I was a bit of a horny magnet. Anytime I saw a woman, I was like, hey, you know, I was just stupid. And there was a lady on the platform. She was clearly doing a film shoot, and she was presenting herself as Marilyn Monroe, the classic white dress, and they had the fan machine on to blow the dress up. And when the tube came in, it brought the wind with it, and they was clicking. And as a driver, I went past her, pulled the train into the platform. I thought, God damn, she's fine. So I get on the internet, the intercom, and I said, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Just want to say a special hi to Marilyn Monroe. Gentlemen, make sure you give up a seat. And I could hear the guys behind me, because they can't see me, but I can hear passengers behind me. Is that the driver? Listen to his voice. Hey, now, is that the driver? No way. That's what I could hear. So I was having a little giggle to myself. And she got off at Baker Street. I smiled, and she gave me a wave, you know, and the same time this fella got off the train, the same time, like the sixth car back, and we were one man operated, so it's just, there was no guards, there was just me. I used to open the doors, and I used to drive the train, and he's bolting down the platform towards the cab, and I'm thinking, oh my God, please tell me no one's had a heart attack or someone's been stabbed, because these things happen. And he got all the way up to the cab. He was very camp. I won't call his name. Very camp. And he says, oh. And I'm singing, what's the problem? He goes, oh, I just got to tell you, you've got a lovely voice. And I thought, man, you're holding my train up just to tell me that. I says, thank you so much. No, wait, please. He told me his name and everything. And he was a chief executive of a television company. And he wanted me to come in and do a voiceover. And I said, well, I didn't even know what a proper voiceover was. I've heard voiceovers, but I didn't realize that's what they were called. And those were the days when mobile phones were new. So I had a one-to-one phone, you know. And he says, can I take your number? I says, yeah, wow. Sure. Let's exchange numbers, because it was cool. I'd give anybody my number because I had nobody in my contacts. Nobody. And so we exchanged numbers and got home. My wife said, oh, this guy keeps ringing the phone off the hook. He's trying to get a hold of you. I says, okay, what's his name? And she told me, and I says, okay. So I rang him up the next morning. He says, yes, I'd love you to come in and do this this audition. I says, sure. So I got my London Underground uniform. I'm going to go in there, and then I'm going to go to work afterwards. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, went into a studio called Molinaire in Dufour's Place in central London. And it's the first time I've been in a proper, studio, you know. And I said, wow, look at this. Even with my underground uniform on, looking like a nobody, like I'm lost. I went up there and they give me a sheet of paper and they says, okay, when the green light comes on, read the first line. Typically, the first line was, in a world. And the next green light, when one man and his dog and whatever it was. And all I could see through the glass window is all these animated executives. I can't hear them. I can just see them all grinning. It's like, whoa, what's up? So I just said, is that okay? Yes, yes, thumbs up. They pressed the button. I could hear them talking. We'll be through in a minute. And he came through and he shook my hand. You know those kind of handshakes where they don't let go of your hand? A handshake. Handshake should be like 3 seconds max. And he held on to my hand and he says, great job, great job. We'll be in touch. We'll be in touch. So I said, okay. Then following that, I don't mind telling you now, but that was back in 95, 94, 95, around about there. And, he said to me on the phone next day, we'd like to offer you a contract. And you got to bear in mind, I was driving trains 48 hours a week for about 300 pounds take home. And he said to me, could you come in for 1 hour per week? 1 hour. And we'll offer you 600 pounds. And I said, whoa. And my daddy was a criminal lawyer. And he always said to me, son, never take what you're offered. Ask for what you want. So I said, okay, I'll get back to you. I'll talk to my people. I ain't got no people. But I just said that to sound cool, right? I said, I'll get back to you. I'll talk to my people. Put down the phone, said to my wife, this dude has just offered me 600 quid for 1 hour per week. You sure you didn't say 60 pounds? I said, no, 600. She said, yeah. So I called him back. I said, listen, so what's the deal? And he says, well, you know, it's a 2-year retainer, he said to me. At that time, I'm from the underground. I know nothing about retainers or none of that jargon that you associate with the film world and advertising world. I didn't know none of that. So he said, I'll offer you a retainer for 2 years. And I thought, I got little babies coming up. You know, I got a great job. I've been in for 13 years. I'm getting free travel for the family. And I said, I don't know about that. He says, well, take it or leave it. And the little naughty man in my head said, take it. The good man was saying, no, you got a safe job. You got a wife and kids. And I went for it. So a couple of days later, I'm driving the trains. I'm out at Harrow Sidings. I get a phone call. And I'm thinking, and I says, who is this? And he says, oh, it's Dean. And I said, could you come in to Molinaire 4 o'clock this afternoon? And I'm thinking, in my mind, I'm thinking 600 quid, but I don't finish till 10. Ah, Jesus. So me and my big mouth, I said, sure, not a problem. I'll be there. So what am I going to do? So I just get onto the controller. Hey, train 234 of Harrow Sidings, come in. Controller says, yes, 234, what can I do? I says, I need to take a physical needs relief at Baker Street. Not a problem. We'll have somebody come get you. So I got a relief driver. I get down to Molinaire. I'm thinking, cool, I'm here. So I'm thinking, if I can go straight in, and by the time he gets the train down south and comes brings it back up, I can get back on it. No, it didn't work like that. The guys at Molinaire are saying to me, sit down. Just chill out for a while. We'll be with you in about half an hour. I'm thinking, no, I don't have half an hour. And so what happened? I left the train and I stood there. And when the train came back on the northbound, I was nowhere to be seen. I never went back. And then at that time, when I spoke to the underground, I said, listen, I was physically sick. I was in no fit state. I booked off. I shouldn't have. And I'm not very well. And I took 6 months off sick from that point. I said I was depressed. I told a lot of lies. I got to tell you. Until one day the channel decided to put a newspaper article out on me, front page. And there's me standing on the tube doors with my arms out. And the big headline, from underground to Hollywood. London Underground tube star has made it big in the big time and all that. Oh, Jesus. My phone ring. I thought you were sick, Red. I thought you were sick. What's up? I said, oh, man. So I got busted. So officially, I got fired from the underground. And then I started, you know, pooping a bit because I thought, this may never last. This may be a five-minute thing. Jesus, 24 months. You know, that's not long. I've been doing this job for 13 years, and all of a sudden I'm going to be jump out of the frying pan into the fire, so to speak. And somebody said to me, just go for it. Just go for it. Believe in yourself. And I did, and I went for it. People started saying, who's that guy? Who's that guy on the Sci-Fi Channel? Who's that guy doing this? Who's that? And then I got myself an agent, and I started getting jobs. And I honestly, again, I'm a layman. I'm a very humble man. I come from humble beginnings, you know. And so I appreciate money. I appreciate people. I appreciate respect. And I appreciate honesty. And I had a job. My first one was for a major company, big brand. And when I got paid, I thought there was a mistake. You know, there were too many zeros on this. And I said, wait a second. I'm getting paid. Whoa. I just went in there and done a voiceover. I didn't break rocks. I didn't save a life. This is stupid. I need to tell my agent that they've made a mistake. I can't live like this. So I rang my agent up and I said, listen, I just got some money in my bank for doing, I've just done one job because I was new to the game, really. And she goes, yes. And I says, well, you sure that's right? She goes, yes, I've taken my percentage. Really? Yeah. Listen, they're going to put that advert worldwide. They're making millions out of that. That is a drop in the ocean. So when I related to it in that way, I thought, okay. And then I started to get used to it, and the jobs started coming in. They were small jobs like, you know, Tonight on BBC One, which pays you nothing. But when you get major brands, you know, you're talking good wonga. And I thought, okay, this is cool. And then I started to do the things that I wanted to do. I went and bought a house with my wife and kids and stuff, started putting extensions on and having the cars and all the rest of it. And life was good. And along the way, I went full circle because I'd have house parties and all the rest of it. And giving it the big I am, you say over here, right? Giving it large. And so I decided, and I looked down, I was sitting on the veranda, or you call it patio here, right? And looking out at this party, big garden party, lots of speakers, lots of half-naked people doing all kind of things. And it was good fun, got the pool, got the cars, got the summer house, I had it all. And I looked and I said, you know what? I don't know half of these people here. I need to break out of this. And I was a guy who went and pulled the fuse in the plugs and said, everybody out, I'm done. Everyone was like, what? Is he tripping? Is he? I said, everybody get out. Out, out. And they came all the way from London down to the deepest part of Kent. And I said, get out. I just changed right there. And I said, you know what? It's not about that. It's about being humble. I was raised correctly. This is BS. And I changed my life. I changed my life totally. So being a voice artist did not change my life. Just recognizing the BS that I was getting involved in, just being a bit too flash and all the rest of it. I thought, you know what? I need to wind my neck back in. I really need to just come back to me and start to be humble and useful rather than just saying, look at me, look at me. And everywhere I go, I still get recognized the voice-wise. Occasionally, I've done television like, you know, Celebrity Pointless, and I've been on a few others, and people say, oh, that's that bloke. Go on, give us a voiceover. Like I'm a circus clown. I don't get upset because that comes with the territory. It's bound to happen. Mm. So some would say it's best to be recognized than not recognized. So I take that on board. And I just go about my business. I do a lot of classes for youngsters who want to be in the game. I can only tell them what my experiences are, and there's lots of pitfalls. It's not all swimming in wonderful gravy and stacks of money. It's not like that. You know, you may get one job every 6 months, you know, until you're established, and if you don't have a voice that nobody wants, you'll never work. That's just the way it is. That's the truth, you know. So I tell the truth all the time. And I spend time in this wonderful space of mine creating scripts. And I'll come up with something like, say your name. What's your full name?
Marcus Bronzy, MarcusBronzy.
See, so I could say Marcus Bronzy, or I could say, say something silly like,
T-minus 1 minute.
Nobody knew him. He was only one man with a dream.
T-minus 50 seconds.
Marcus Bronzy had a decision to make before the time ran out. Yes, stuff like that. I'll sit in here and I'll do stuff like that.
That's awesome.
And whatever. I love that, man. That's just rough. And I have lots of different patches of music. I patch it into my discs. I come and I play. I do silly things like, well, it's not silly. It's quite heartwarming, because every year I'm Santa Claus to about 222 people, actually. 223. I'll put one more on this year. 223 people. And all I do is get on the phone and they send me the text saying, right, I bought Michael a bicycle, I bought Jemima whatever, and I get on the phone and, hello, is that you, Jemima? Do you know who I am? Did you like your bicycle? It's lovely and blue, isn't it? I am Santa Claus, and I tell you what, if you're a good girl this year, you'll get exactly what you want next year, okay? I've got to run along. Merry Christmas. And I'll do that. And then I'll spend the whole day doing that. Right. Mm. And it warms my heart to know that some kids out there have felt good from something that I've done. And it takes nothing from me. It costs me nothing. A bit of warmth, a bit of empathy, a bit of happiness in your life. And you send it, you share it. That's what happiness is for. Knowledge is to share. Learning is to share. You know, and that's what I do. I'm just that kind of a guy.
You know what? I can tell you truly love what you do, you know, and it's great that you share that gift with people as well. Because I could only imagine being like a young kid and having a personalized conversation with Santa Claus. That must be that must be so heartwarming.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the text that I get back and they send me little videos of the mom crying and stuff like that. And, you know, thank you so much. It's made my day. And I'm thinking, okay, it's a bit like the unsung hero, your postman, the man who delivers ding dong on your door. He's been out in the rain and the cold and whatever. He's bought you that parcel of that piece of equipment you've been waiting weeks for. He's made your day, but he's unsung. Nobody recognizes him because he's just a postman, isn't he? But he's actually making people's day year in, year out. And people don't recognize that. That's why I always tip my postman, always, without fail.
Do you know what, Red? My dad taught me that as well. I was like, I remember saying when I was young, I said, Dad, why do you always talk to the postman so much? He said, listen, son, see these people here? These are if this guy's not around and he's not on his job, you're going to have a bad day. And not only that, he's in the community. He sees what's going on. He goes, look after your community and they'll look after yourself. Exactly. 100% right. I'm always good to my postman. And you know what? During these times now, when there's a lot to deliver and I'm not in, I always get my parcel because my delivery men are cool with me.
There you go. That's what it's about, baby. Giving back. Understanding.
100%. Have you ever been asked to do anything with the villa? Because I think that you'd make a great announcer.
Listen,
for that.
I'm villa through and through. You can't see it right here. Maybe you can if I turn around. See, on my wall, on my wall right here, the whole of this wall.
Oh, wow. The big Aston Villa flag.
Yeah, it's massive. And that's bigger than my head. And not many things are bigger than that. I got to say. I just messed up the camera angle. Doesn't matter. But I'm a Villa fan since 1975. Because even though I look like I'm 40, I'm not. I'm touching 60 in June. And I followed Villa since 1975. And I fell in love with the colors. That was all I did. And I said to my dad, I want to play football. And as a black man, back in the 70s, you know, a lot of black folks weren't allowed to get into football grounds and stuff. So my dad said, you're talking out the side of your neck, son. You can't go and play football and blah, 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 blah. But he said, you know what? I'm going to let you go. And I had a little trial with Aston Villa. It turned out to be nothing. I got two left feet. I got bandy legs. And, you know, but I thought, yeah, put the kit on. And people think when you put the kit on, it gives you power. No, it doesn't. It just makes you look like you got a nice kit. So I went up there and I thought, wow, this is Villa Park. Wow. And so I fell in love when I was 15 years old and I never turned back. I've stuck with the team. Everyone said, you got to stick with a team. Once you choose your team, that's it. And I said, okay. So I stuck with the team, and I'm good. They had their highs and their lows, and I've been up there. So I'm on there, one of their famous fans, and occasionally I'll go up there, courtesy of Aston Villa, and I'll introduce the teams, you know, just on the PA system, or I'll get into their magazine, and they'll do a piece about me or put it on YouTube about me, part of the pride, they call it. And I'm good. You know, I just get around, and to me, I'm a humble man. I'm very, very humble. I don't have no airs and graces about me. I'm just a regular guy who looks a bit flashy in a suit when I got to go do TV and stuff like that. But then I'll dress down, and I'm just the bloke next door. I'm just cool.
I hear that, man. But you've definitely got a zen about you, which has definitely come from your experience. And I feel like just having a conversation with you right now, you've put some of that zen vibe onto me. So I really appreciate that.
That's right.
With regards to some of the work that you've done over the years, you've done massive projects, big films. You've also done commercials and you've done TV voiceovers. Is there one thing that's just kept coming back or you keep hearing back about from people? Is there one job where people always, you're like, oh my gosh, that's doing the rounds again?
There's quite a few that do the rounds again. Not movie-wise, usually television commercial-wise. There's a few, I don't know why, but Smoking Aces, when I did Smoking Aces, that was such a gas. I'd done that for working titles in central London, actually. And it was just, I forgot the script. I'll have to pull it up on YouTube or something. But that was just a nice vibe, the way it came across. The hit goes down. And with the music and everything going on, it was just perfect. Yeah. It was like, cool. And then the other one was Mr. Bean's Holiday, when I did that, you know, whatever year it was, you say.
In 1909, man stood on the North Pole. In 1953, man conquered Everest. In 1969, man landed on the moon. But in 2007, the ultimate conquest will be one man's journey to the beach. For Mr. Bean, it was meant to be the holiday of his dreams.
You know, you lead them down this deep road, and then it turns out to be Mr. Bean. And little things, I just enjoy what I do. I've done so many good ones. Some were very difficult to do, and some were very easy to do. Like when I walked in to a Central London studio, they said, hi, Red, you don't need a script. I said, you mean I don't need a script? Go into your booth. I says, okay. Just this film is called Saw. It's a horror film. I went in and Saw. Thanks, Red. That was it. That was it. And I said, seriously? And that was the very, very first time that my wife had come to a studio with me, because I kept saying I got this big job and it's very hard to do and not everybody can do it. Nobody can do my job. Listen, it's not about just reading. You gotta deliver. You gotta put some soul in your voice. So I walk in there her first time and she's just got a nice cup of tea, because they treat everybody nice at the studios. They say, would you like a cup of tea, love? She's got her green tea sitting down. She's gonna sit down and see how the whole thing operates. I walk in there and go, so, cheers, Red, that'll do. And am I done? Yeah, that's good. And she's just like, I haven't started my... I said, come on, woman. You enjoy the money, don't you? And I got paid for it, obviously. And then a couple of years later, come in again, Saw 2. And that was it, you know. So some are like that. Some are like that. And then there's some when you have to literally talk a long script, you know. There's things like Tim Burton. He called me, actually, called my agent and said, I want to meet Red personally. I said, Tim Burton, the Tim Burton? He said, yeah. So we went to his house in a place I will rather not disclose because that's personal information, and in London. And we went in there. Fantastic guy. And Tim has done things like Edward Scissorhands and all those kind of strange movies. And he's got that beautiful vibe about his home and his huge garden and whatever. And I thought, wow, I'm in like Alice in Wonderland. It was so cool. And he says, yeah, my engineer swears by you. He worked with you a few years ago, and I was looking for people who are dead, but they're still alive. And he said, there's only one man who could do that. And he said, you. And I says, me? He goes, yeah. So I want you to be ghouls in my movie, as Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. That's what he was shooting at the time, putting together post-production. And I went into the studio, and I got like 30 different microphones, skinny microphones, fat microphones, big, huge microphones, tiny microphones. They were all around me. And he said to me, just do your thing. You're dead, but you're alive. You're a ghoul. Just whatever comes out your mouth. So I typically went, so I was doing stuff like that for 20 minutes, and he was standing in the, and all I got was his thumb. He kept going, brilliant. And then he pressed the button, could you just sustain that for a bit longer? I said, yeah, no problem. And I did that. Those are kind of things that make me smile. That I go to the cinema, watch a movie, and I'm the guy who will sit there, the lights are up, and I'm just sitting there just waiting to see my little name and credit, you know, voice and including Brett. And I said, yeah, there you go, I'm happy now. Simple little things like that. Simple things like watching a console game that I never had a clue what it was going to be called, because in that at that stage of production, they don't even have a name for it. And then when one of my sons says, oh, Dad, you're in Grand Theft Auto, or you're in whatever. I'm saying, am I? And then I remember doing it, and I'm thinking, wow, because I didn't actually see it. And they put the artwork around your voice. There was one particular scene, one guy we'd voice for maybe, I don't know, maybe 9 hours, a long day, with breaks in between. And I was doing a lot of, come on, guys, get up the hill! Playing the sergeant major and playing this man and that man and whatever, different characters. And there was one scene where I got my throat cut. Oh, Red, sorry, before you go, we got to do the cutthroat scene. So I took my coat off. I says, come on. What do you want me to do? He says, just sound like your throat is being cut. I says, well, I've never had my throat cut, but I can imagine it'll sound like this. He goes, no, underwater. Now, there's no script to tell me how to do this, and you just got to make it sound good. So it's like, and you got to bring it out. And it, to me, at the time, it sounded stupid. But when you see it put to picture, it's like, wow, how cool is that? And that's the joy I get from doing animations or VOs or whatever. The dry voice alone doesn't sound so great in my world. But once you start putting a little ambience behind it, you know, it could be something simple that can just tell a story. Then all of a sudden, the story becomes real. And everything takes on a whole new meaning. In 2021, the world was changed. COVID disappeared. Everybody was happy again. And the world spun round again. You know, if I just said that without putting anything behind it, it's still the voice, but you've got to ride the music. You've got to get in there with the same vibe. Sometimes you get violins. Sometimes you get rock guitar. Sometimes you get crash, bang, wallop. Sometimes you get heavy stuff. So you got to ride and bring that gravitas for a thriller. You got to, yeah, Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones. You got to bring it. But when you hear it just plain, it's not special. When you got the whole thing put together, that's why I say we're a team. It's not about me. It's about the team. The whole team has created that session, not just me. You know, so I love what I do, and I love the whole craft. And that's why I hate when people treat it lightly. It's like, ugh. You know, there's a lot of people would cut off their left arm to be doing what you're doing, and you're walking in here as if you're the king. I can't stand all that. Be professional.
I appreciate you saying that, man. And you know what? I'm blown away by what you've told us today, man. It's amazing to hear that you've managed to keep so humble, you know, because you are one of the, I mean, I've got to say, I don't think there's another voice that's like yours in the UK, man. And I think in the world even. And I think that, you know, to have such a unique talent and an instrument that you work so hard at, but to still be speaking the way that you are about it shows that you truly love what you do. Thank you so much, Red, man. I've really enjoyed talking to you today. Like, in the nicest way possible, I could listen to you talk all day long.
Listen, I'm not coming by you to read you a bedtime story, so don't even ask me. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen,
baby. That was what I was going to ask next, Red, man. Oh, come on. I was going to be like Little Red Riding Hood or something, please.
Oh, I got different versions of Little Red Riding Hood. Trust me, I have. I'm the daddy.
Your kids must have slept real well.
I just opened the door. My kids, I just opened the door and say, go to sleep. Okay, Dad. But they're all grown up now. I got six kids, man, and they're all happy. And they don't hear my voice anymore.
Really?
No, they just don't hear it. They're used to it.
Fair enough. All right, Red. What I'm going to ask you, and I understand your industry is shrouded in mystery, so you may not be able to let us know. But what have you got forthcoming that you can let us know about? If it's all top secret, I totally understand it, because I get it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You got to sign all these NDAs all the time, especially when it's something in the pipeline for 2021 or 2022 or whatever. Yeah, but there's lots of meaty stuff I got lined up. Really, I can only tell you what I'm doing currently on television. That's about it. What I'm doing on television. I do a lot of things for BT, and I do a lot of things for Gala Bingo and different things. I'm just in the process of appearing on this show, a new series of The Big Fat Quiz of Everything with Jimmy Carr. That's coming up on Channel 4 pretty soon. I'm as a live guest. But all the other stuff that I've got in the pipeline, I really can't disclose, but I'm a busy boy.
Totally understand that, and I'm glad to hear that, and I look forward to hearing your voice again soon. I'll be like, I know that guy. I've spoken to that guy this time now. I can say that.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me, and I hope you have many, many, many more fantastic podcasts, and I'm glad to be a contributor.
Thank you for joining us. Before I let you go, though, where should we look for you online? Where can we support you? Where can we send us?
Oh, yeah, if you want to, I'm on Twitter, but I don't really check that page. I shouldn't say that, but I don't. At The Red Pepper, that's for Twitter. Okay. And on Instagram, The Red Pepper. The Red Pepper. Is it? No, it's not. I don't know. It's not even that. I'm giving you false information there. It's Red Pepper 1. That's it on Instagram, Red Pepper 1. That's two D's in red, R-E-double-D, pepper, one. That's on Instagram. And I'm on Facebook, but I don't really want Facebook following me. I just have it for personal friends, you know.
That's all good. We'll make sure that we find you on the gram. Thank you very much for killing some time with us. It's been really great having a conversation with you. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us.
Exactly. Thank you. In a world where there are more podcasts than grains of sand, a motley crew set themselves the challenge of a lifetime to find the most kick-ass things to do and do them. This is How to Kill an Hour. With Marcus Bronzi and a few guys who, well, they claim to be his friends. I couldn't do that.
Yes, please. I love that one.
With Marcus Bronzi. Bronzi and friends. Well, they claim with Marcus Bronzi and a few guys who says they're his friends. And a few folks who... claim to be his friends. And a few folks who claim to be his friends. Yeah, sure they are. Yeah, sure they are.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.